good.
Okay, so we're still under the budget workshop, so John, if you would pick back up, please.
Okay. One of the things, Jennifer, I don't know if we need to put the that five-year financial forecast, which is the end of my presentation, sort of back up there. I think there were some questions about that, what was happening in fiscal 12 and 13. There was an increase there in the on the expense side, and I wasn't clear with my answer. And again, there's more detail in the budget book. There's more detail in a couple of areas that the expense line grows. You can see it's 29.9 in fiscal 11, and then grows by about over $2 million in fiscal 12, and then a million. So the jump you have in fiscal 12 was really twofold. It's a continuation, as I said, of the Corps of Engineers O&M projects that we have to pay for, although that's not that much of an increase because we already were doing some of that in 11. But primarily it's due to O&M costs associated with groundwater property management. And what I mean by that is if we were to go forward with our groundwater project and acquire groundwater wherever that is, that we anticipate that there'll be some O&M costs associated with managing that property, managing that land and associated with that. And so there was approximately $500,000 a year that was put into fiscal 12 for that contingency. Obviously, if the groundwater does not go forward, then you won't have that expense in fiscal 12, or you'll have something different. But that's why there was an increase in fiscal 12. And to some extent, if you go to the next slide, why you see the system rate projections go up a little more rapidly in those next couple of years. Is because of some of that, is some of the groundwater things and the Corps of Engineers cost. Otherwise, the expenses are really going up just based upon five-year rolling averages of increases and the like. So anyway, I want to clarify that because I didn't really have the correct answer before the break.
Let me make the comment to anybody. If you have any suggested changes to the budget, this is the time to do them. Not, I think now during this workshop, this is the time to discuss them and make any changes rather than during the next action item. So I suggest if you have any recommendations or something of that nature, to please go ahead and make them now.
I have recommendations. I would like to see an increase in the employee salary. Put back here.
Is that a motion?
Oh, I don't know.
there's a question. How would we do that? Would we need to do that by a motion?
We had quite a bit of deliberation over that. And I would like to say that I think Phil is very sensitive to our desire for the staff. Perhaps maybe not all staff, but maybe there are some staff that particularly what I would call the lower paid staff, and maybe give Phil the discretion to. I think the situation we're in is very unique, and so Phil, why don't you kind of address the question like you did us?
There's a couple of things. Number one is we didn't blow off the guidance. It was discussion. It said it'd be nice if you could do that. After we went to our customers and after we looked at the what the state's going to be faced with and what all the other. We made a decision. I made the decision that said, let's put it up there, and then if the board doesn't want it, they want to give more, that's certainly within our discretion, and that's what this process is all about. That's all. Two, the because we're so diverse in where we live and the levels of jobs that we have and so forth, that makes it difficult to do that. As you know, this morning we said from me on down, the decision is not to make any money, or not to get an increase. Did they deserve it? Absolutely. But it appeared to be the rational thing to do in this environment and in the economy that we find ourselves. Somebody's got to stand up and pay sometime and be thankful. We're all thankful that we have jobs. And so that was the rationale. If that's faulty logic, well then The say through the board tells me to go put in 3.1, 4.6, 9.12. I mean, we don't care. I don't care. Y'all are the bosses.
I'm back here.
I'm a cognizant of everything you say, but I'm a firm believer in rewarding people for a job well done. And we didn't give them a raise last year. We're talking 3.3%. Is 407,000? Anyway, somewhere around that number, straight across the board. And, you know, we got $57 million. I guess the problem I see as an employee looked at that, you got $57 million coming in from the divestiture. The authority's making $1.6 million net profit. You know, if we're not making money, I'm totally behind it. But I think people that work hard and are good people, which they wouldn't be here if they weren't, need to be rewarded, and they didn't get a raise last year. And 3.3% is not a lot, but I think it's a gesture that would go a long way. And that's my
feeling. Does it have to be 3.3?
No,
Could it be 1.5 with a letter that says, you know, we wish it were more?
Yeah.
But at least recognizing serving of a raise.
Open John, let me ask
that's
you
just a number. I John, mean, I might fail. It could be 12%. I don't care. But
if we make percentage change like this, what is it going to do to the system rate? Just in round numbers.
A 2% increase, if you just pick that number, a 2% increase across, let's say it's across the board that applies to everybody, or at least the pool, however you do it. But if it's 2% for all employees, is approximately $300,000. So that's approximately $1 in the system rate, an increase in the system rate by $1. Now,
we're recommending a 62.5.
Right now, 62.50.
And we've already gone through all three areas and divulged that and told all our customers.
That's a recommendation. Yeah. That's the process. The process is the staff said here's what we think it should be. Comes to this board and it makes it changes our mind or changes our position.
No, but we've already briefed all of our customers of what the rate's going to be at three different meetings we've had with them.
And I don't think that it's fair for us, with all due respect, to look at the $57 million that's coming in. That's money that should be that is set aside for capital projects, and we need to be looking at operating income here. And we're already looking at a possible 6% increase to the system rate in
We're going from 60.50 to 62.50. A 3.3% increase.
That's for this fiscal year, but looking at the rate projections over the next 5 years, that would be going up even higher. I think that we need to be A, sensitive to our customers, and B, this is a year that we can afford to be conservative, I believe, with the staff, as other government jobs are being, what's the term, reeded or whatever all these other, many other, you know, state agencies are cutting jobs because there are not funds enough to pay for existing staff.
We're talking about if we do say a 2% increase and it goes up a dollar on the system rate, we're talking about 63.5, which is a 5% increase as opposed to what's going across the state agencies from the governor's office of a 5% cut. So I think everybody needs to be very cognizant of that before we start.
I think that could set off a lot of red flags with other groups the state.
And let's put it this way: also, we also have to be cognizant that we are a public entity. We're going into the next session, and last time we had to fight to keep from going under sunset, which could have just devastating impacts to our ability to do bonding issues. If we're going out there and, you know, doing increases across the board, I'm not sure that we're not going to raise those red flags, which could bring us under a great deal of scrutiny, more than we already are. So, again, I want everybody to be cognizant of what's being suggested before we do it.
Chris?
Yes?
Obviously, so this is Phil's recommendation. Is there anything that would prevent us from revisiting the subject in 6 months or during the year? I mean, is there anything that causes us not to be able to do that, John?
No, no, sir. Just depending on what was done in the past, when we, excuse me, just if I interject, when we had increases 2 years ago, they were usually in two pieces. This was just what was done back then, where there was across the board based on ECI, the Employment Cost Index, and that was effective September 1st. That was actually effective at the beginning of the fiscal year for all the employees at that time. And then there was a performance piece, if I remember correctly, it was 1 to 1.5% pool that was then discretionary, that was done post reviews and things like that, and it was allocated out. It was done at a later date, a little later in the year after that was done. So that was just how it was done in the past. But it absolutely could be done at any in any way, or could be done at a later date.
Leroy, Sal just said something. I think we could come back and revisit it, but because we're having to set our system right now, I don't think we could adjust the system rate halfway through. If we did do something, we'd have to fund it ourselves.
Yeah. Come out of surplus. Yes.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
So
I agree with what you said, Chris. And the economy we're in today and everything, I think we just need to tighten our belts and keep going.
I do think we need to keep in mind the cost of living, though, because this is probably going to be a positive cost of living year. And we just have to keep that in mind. And we need to revisit it, I think, or give Phil latitude to deal with it in some way. But that can be at another time.
I'd also go ahead.
No, I was going to say, John, I mean, is it not possible to keep the system right where we have since I've started being communicated and find it elsewhere?
Yes. Yes. And that would be my, I mean, seeing that that was what was represented to our customers, that would be my recommendation, is to not change the system rate, but to find either savings elsewhere or either come out of reserves or something like that, if that's what you would want to do, would be to do it that way.
Kerry, I think that's the key, is at the three customer meetings, they were told that there would be no raises. And I commend Phil and the staff for their willingness to do so. And I think if you came back now and did that without informing the customers, you may find yourself or us in a position where they feel as if they were misled. And that would be my biggest concern. I think, obviously, Peter, you're probably right. There will be some inflation this year. But to be misled, and I think that clients would see that. And I think you pointed out earlier that there are customers that are also getting no raises. In fact, there are a number of municipalities that are having to cut staff. And so although I agree 100% that we have a tremendous staff and probably worthy of that, we probably should have visited this particular subject prior to the customer meetings to avoid that.
I have a question. In our 5-year projections, and you showed those increases, are salaries part of that?
Yes, they're not defined as salary increases, but
not.
The expenses are actually going up based on a 5-year sort of index, a rolling average index of approximately 5%. It's a little bit off of that. So it would accommodate salary increases in each of those 5 years on the compensation aspect. We just generally roll some of the, using this 5-year rolling average, where expenses are going up. So it allows for increases in pay. In fact, that's the assumption, is that's where some of that would be increases in pay.
So perhaps in the next cycle, budget cycle, we could emphasize salaries versus rates. 2012. That's just a possibility.
And another input along that line, two inputs. Number one is that if you go to your customers and say for the last 2 years, it's more palatable to them to justify about what you're doing. We had one customer that didn't like John's 5-year projection or didn't like the ramp up. And so he is going to hire a consulting firm, allegedly, to come up here and to audit our projected rate increases to see where everything's all the stuff is going. That's just some of the things. The other thing whether it be when it's across the board, we got feedback that surprised me whenever we went to the rather than a line at the direction of the board about 5 years ago, we went out of the business of just because you showed up for work, you got a longevity automatic cross the board 3%. And what we found out, the feedback from employees, that they liked that across the board increase where everybody one tie, all tie. And whenever we started going to the merit system, we ran into a couple of problems because we had some of our supervisors that were Santa Clauses and did that anyway where they wouldn't be the bad guy, and then we had some other supervisors that were that did it on the bell curve or did it the right way and made the tough decision. And so then you have a disparity back into the mentality that we have that we all supposed to be equal. So those are in some cases philosophical, but they're the truisms of implementing this type of thing in the environment and in the world that we live in.
Well, with that in mind, my thought is to go ahead and move forward, but I would think that we'd have to have some agreement prior to changing our budget. So if someone wants, I guess, Laura Lee, help me out here. If we would want to make a change that, without a handshake, would we need a motion to change a specific item in the budget? Would that be the...
John, talk about...
Put the resolution up, please, Jennifer, real quick. And you can look at what the resolution says.
Yeah, because the resolution has water supply,
right,
cost reimbursable, total budget.
The resolution is written that provides...
That's what I mean, for the change, not for the whole thing.
Okay, and that's describing a follow according to policy. The next slide.
There you go.
That's the resolution that authorizes Phil to expend up to a certain amount of dollars, and we do it in two categories: operating budget and the capital budget. And those are the thresholds that he is limited by each of those lines. So he cannot spend more than $36.8 million within the water supply division. I'll call it, because that's what our policies sort of call it. And accordingly in the cost reimbursable. So he's got to stay within those. And then the same thing on the capital side. So there's discretion that Phil has in the in those areas. Now the budget itself, the document you have, details that out in a book, but you're not really approving the specific line items.
So we would have to do just kind of like a generic increase in the bottom line almost. With some direction as to how it's to be.
If you wanted to increase the supply or the amount of expenditures, you would, or you could keep it within those same expenditures but direct a reallocation of how you expend it, I guess, potentially, even though there's not really any.
Well, 'cause I think we have a certain amount of the section of the board in terms of yay or nay on this, so I want to make sure that Bob?
Mr. Chairman, this is just a point of clarification. We're going to have one vote for the whole operating plan and budget combined?
That's why I'm saying.
I have a question.
Okay.
More about the operating plan than the budget. It's in the form of a question, not a recommendation, whenever that would be the appropriate time.
Okay. Let's hear what John has to say first.
I see from looking at the communities I'm in, they're all under significant budget pressures. And everybody there that I'm seeing are cutting back, they're freezing jobs, not giving very many raises. So I think this fits in with what's going on from a public utility and community and so forth. So I'm comfortable with it. We don't see a huge amount of turnover going on here, which I'm a cold hard way to look at it, but they're staying put, we're doing something right. And I think we can best serve ourselves going for multiple different reasons. The Sunset and the legislature are looking to us to manage as best we can. Our management team tells us they can manage this at the same level of excellence without it. I feel like it's something we have to do, and we can, the economy
next year we'll have an opportunity to do the open thing. Here, I already have in our planning as much as 5% or more, so we can move pretty quickly if we need to meet both the marketplace and so forth.
And again, John, I agree with you. I think that we don't operate in a vacuum. We have to look at how this affects those around us. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't want the staff to think that we don't appreciate it. I think they make our job very easy. But my thought is we have a staff and we have a management team for a reason. I've refused to micromanage. I will go with their recommendations unless I see glaring problems, and I don't. And so with that said, Bob, you wanted to phrase a question. So.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. At our last budget approval a year ago when we approved the budget, we had a considerable amount of discussion at that time about some of our capital resources, particularly our land resources, given the fact that our mission is to develop, manage, and protect our water resources. And we currently own 14,000 acres of land at PK. We're disposing of about 1,500 acres of the lease land. And everybody wants to get out of the real estate business, including myself. And I think what we're doing is getting out of the lease management business, but we're not getting out of the real estate business. In fact, with our long-range plan, we are perhaps getting, I don't think there's any doubt, we're getting deeper into the real estate business with the potential of acquiring 15,000 to 30,000 acres of surface that might go along with subsurface, with water rights that we are hoping to be able to acquire. So a year ago, we talked about doing something to prepare ourselves to convert these real estate assets into a more usable form of capital so that it would be available to us for developing water. There's been a plan done in years past that we haven't used, and I see nothing here that's forward-looking that is even a plan. I'm not saying we should develop it. I'm not saying we should do anything other than plan for the orderly, optimal disposition of it. And as much discussion as we've had about that, I see nothing in here that recognizes that. In fact, in one case, after that discussion, prior to our previous budget approval, we almost gave away 360 acres of it, pretty prime real estate, appraised subsequently at more than $2 million. And so I think it's that kind of mistakes that we're prone to have that if we do not address the necessity of planning for the ultimate disposition of this real estate. And I'm frankly disappointed that I just don't see it in this plan. And so could you help me understand what our plans are in that respect?
Well, at this point, at least my plan is to complete the deal with Patterson. I'm not going to...
But that ignores all the other land, and we've ignored it for a year and a half. Why do we have to keep ignoring it?
Well, again, I think it's the political pressures. I think we need to complete Patterson before we go on to any other deals. And Bob, I can't put it any plainer.
Well, I don't want to be sitting on the witness stand in some Senate hearing sometime with having somebody questioning me about why we gave away prime real estate worth several million dollars when we have an obligation to take those assets and convert them to a form that we can use to meet our mission.
Now, let me ask you, you said give away.
Let me just finish.
Okay, please finish.
Ask me and have him say something like, so you, Mr. Cash, you voted for this? You voted for disposing of these assets? All I'm saying is, why don't we just have a plan?
Bob, let me back you up there. When you said just giving away, are you referring to the parks and wildlife?
Yes, I am.
That was not going to be giving away. That was going to be a transfer.
Transfer.
For us to be able to gain land that I think we needed. It was land under the lake bed, if I'm not correct.
Native land.
Wouldn't you want to be able to control the land under the lake? Well, so Bob, I think that's spurious.
No, Mr. it's not Chairman? Spurious. Whenever you trade prime view land for land that's underwater, I'll debate that one with you all day
that's
long.
Fine.
With all due
that's
respect,
fine.
Is this the resolution that we're looking to pass?
That's one of yeah.
I move that the board accept the resolution.
Trent, we're not to that point yet. Sorry.
We're beginning to chase a lot of rabbits here. They're not germane at all, and I'm trying to bring this back on the
subject. Wait a minute.
This is part of what we're supposed to be doing. This is the budget workshop, which is open to discussion. We're not even on the action item. We can't vote on this yet. We're not on that action item.
As far as having any kind of a long-range plan for real property, it's rather difficult because you don't have a crystal ball. And you might have some general guidelines to say you have a specific type of written long-range plan. I think it's kind of difficult. And to just dump the property to have a few bucks, is probably
the wrong
not
thing to do.
That is the other extreme. So maybe this is something that we could talk more about as an agenda, a separate agenda item.
And I don't want to hold this process up. That's a good point. I just think it's appropriate to plan for the management and development of all of our resources, which is our mission. I throw it out, and I'll, it's either we're going to do it or we're not. I want to be on the record as having recommended that we do so.
So noted. Is there any other further discussion on the budget workshop?
I have one question. On page 18, very top item, Possum Kingdom Lake.
Page 18.
Beg your pardon?
Is it in this? Yeah. About in the budget?
Yeah. I'm on my diligent book. Projected expenditures are $3,246,000. FYI, 2011 is $3.44 million. My question is, if we're divesting of an about amount of this property, why is it costing more at Possum Kingdom than it did?
One of the reasons that, or the significant reason for that increase, is due to the electricity. We're going to have to provide electricity at Possum Kingdom due to the hydroelectric not being operating.
Uh-huh.
We now are going to have to buy electricity this next year where it used to come through the hydroelectric operation. And so there's going to be a out-of-pocket to the tune of about $150,000 a year that we haven't expended at Possum Kingdom Lake for electricity. It was actually part of on the revenue side of the equation before. It was an offset against the – but the That's a big chunk of it, and then there's some other projects at PK there. But we do have one position that has been removed that was in the budget. There's been one administrative position that was in the budget. I think Kent had alluded to it a little bit earlier. That has been removed from the budget. That is as a result of the lease property. Kent or Mike might speak to this better than I would, but even though the lease property is – the majority of the lease property is going away, we're going to be in the dock business, and a lot of the efforts are things like inspections and things like that that will continue to have to be done.
So we're divesting about 80%, 75-80%, but still retaining 25-30%.
Yeah. And there's going to be some –
15-25, the 50-foot quarter around the park, and that hadn't gone away yet, so we're in the process of – talking to it, we'll be making a recommendation when it's time for legal issues, and so
we'll okay. That part. Well, I clarify. I mean, that number didn't jive with me.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I do have one other question for John, if I may.
Please do.
John, I believe I read in here that we are, during the 2011 fiscal year, planning at that time to sell the Set Ranch. Is that the period that we're – and, of course, that's part of the legislative
– House Bill 3032, yes,
correct.
Sir.
My question is, what do we have as a basis for the value of that sale? What do we, what does the law say that we use for a basis? Do we have it appraised? And what are we doing to verify that?
Hi, House Bill 3032 states that that will be sold for appraised value, and there's like a kind of a battling appraisals. We get it, BRA gets an appraisal. If Set Ranch doesn't like that, they can get their own. If BRA doesn't accept that one, then those two appraisers will meet and try to agree on the appraised value. But it does state that it has to be sold for fair market value.
Okay, does the board have any say in selecting that appraiser?
BRA can choose its own appraiser.
Okay, thank you.
Would now be appropriate time to make a motion?
Okay, hold on 1 second. I, Laura Lee, I have a question. Under our agenda item, we just have budget workshop and discussion. How do we, can we make a motion?
Basically what you do is you close the workshop and just move to the next agenda.
Okay. And before we do that, Director Tesh, I do want to make one comment that what we're going to be voting on is only the budget. We're not voting on their strategic plan. So if you'd like to make a inclusion in something in the strategic plan, I'll be glad to accept it. That's just a comment. If
okay,
you want to make it.
You want my recommendation?
Well, no, not right now. I'd prefer you to send me a letter.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
But at this point, we're only going to, the next action item where we're actually going to vote is only going to be voting on the budget for the next year.
Thank
so we're not voting on the strategic plan. With that in mind, if there's no other, John, do you want to make a comment?
Chris, I have one statement. Director Sloan and I spoke about this, and Phil, we have, we're going to have approximately 74.2 million dollars in our rate stabilization reserve fund. I think it would be prudent to remove a portion of that fund, I think the 57 million, into a separate line item, because when you do increase those water rates and they look at the reserves that you're going to have, they will see that as some type of question. Why would the BRA raise the water rates? So I think by removing that number, you at least give some type of justification as to why you're going about doing so. Does that make sense, Sloan?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
We'll do that at the time. When it comes in,
yes.
Y'all can bring us a recommendation as to how to handle that going forward.
We can look at it in terms of our reserve policy and if it needs to be modified or changed in some way.
When we have that type of reserve, is there ever an opportunity to lower the water rate? I mean, I recognize that we're concerned about the future, but at the same time, if we have a rate stabilization surplus of such a significant level, well, I'd sure love to be able to see the municipalities cut it back, which essentially affects it every day.
John, there's actually, we've talked about that before. In Jim Forte presented, what do you call it, the dashboard?
Right.
Showing, I remember this, and Jim, you may want to comment on it. There was a, when we were talking about some of the capital projects, i.e. Allen's Creek, potentially groundwater acquisition, maybe the saltwater barrier, there was a huge spike in the thing, and then it kind of leveled out. And he had come up with a formula, per se, of trying to ease that increase. So there's a planned use, I think.
Jim. Right, and one of the things that we'd contemplated, and again, it's you know, 3 or 4 years into the future, but trying to be sensitive to some significant capital projects we're looking at. For example, the Allen's Creek project, just at the way that we're contracted that right now, we're going to have to incur $60 to $70 million worth of expense over a very short period of time. We have to have the construction initiated in 2018, which means that, and have to have it completed by 2021. So that $70 million worth of expenditures is going to happen over roughly a 3-year period of time. What we're looking at is we may be able to issue debt for approximately 2/3 of that, but what we'd try to do is about 1/3 of that would come out of the rate stabilization fund to kind of keep the rates down low, as opposed to loading $70 million into our rate structure in a 3-year period of time. We'd only have to load about $30 to $40 million in, and the rest of it would be use of the rate stabilization fund. So we're already contemplating using that. It's a couple of years away from actually committing to that, but it's something that we have been looking at very closely. As the actual projects do come online, like the groundwater acquisition. When that happens, that sets in place a number of other actions that we need to be ready to do.
And well received. All I'm saying is maybe you create a bucket that's capital reserve so that when one looks at a municipality, for instance, looks at it and sees this enormous jump in rate stabilization reserves, they're not questioning why are my rates continuing to go up. And we can always transfer those funds back into that reserve, but you know, obviously, it's separate from working capital.
And that's
my
absolutely valid. Yes, sir.
I think that's not unreasonable. Okay. Any more questions? With that in mind, we'll close action item number 2.